said if I could talk Inez into going to, that it would absolutely, there would be stories to tell for years. And here I am. All these years later telling this story. Well, it was when the snake handlers come to Sodom. Now, for all of you that don't know what snake handling is, there's a line in the Bible, and kind of translated loosely, says that he who takes up the serpent, even though he's bitten, if his faith is strong enough, he won't be poisoned. Okay? So that's a practice down south. They actually take live snakes into the church and get them out during the service and pass them around amongst the congregation. And that determines how strong your faith is.
That's right.
Mine wasn't very strong.
What's the death rate?
Interestingly enough, I think they get in such a state, you know, physically and mentally, that there's not that many dead. There's even though they're bitten, you know, there's not many of them that die. If one gets bitten in the congregation, they have what's called setting up prayers. You know, they'll all gather together and lay the person out, and, you know, lay hands on them and pray all night long, you know. And a lot of them get up the next morning and you can't even tell they've been bitten. But I think that's up here. Or who's to say?
Up there in the first place, I would have thought.
Huh?
Up there in the first place, I would have thought.
Yeah, but I think the message I'm trying to get across, I'm not sure how much of it's fanaticism and how much of it is just going into an altered state, and how much of it really is divine intervention. I guess you can just, whatever you'd like to believe is fine with me. But anyhow, the snake handlers were coming to Sodom. They were coming from over in Kingsport, Tennessee, up to the Low Gap Church. So, huh? Primitive Baptist? No, it was the, not Primitive Baptist, but the Churchill Baptist. Yeah. And anyhow, I went down to Inez's on Monday, and I said, Inez, she was sitting out on the porch in a rocking chair. I said, have you heard who's coming up to the Low Gap Church this Saturday night? She said, yes, sir, I've heard who's coming. And I think anybody that partakes of such stuff would have to be a fool. And I didn't mention nothing about it that night, but I was back down there the next night, begging her to go. Well, finally, by Friday night, she threw her hands up and she said, all right, you've worried me to death, I'll go. But you've got to come down here and get me early because you know how long it takes me to get in and out in the car. And that was true. So I went down there early on Saturday, and Inez come down the steps and down to the driveway, and she opened the car door, and then she would back into it like this, till the backs of her legs hit the frame of the car, and then she would flop down in the seat, and then she would pick her left leg up and place it over in the car, and reach back out and get her right leg and pick it up and place it over in the car, and then she'd sort of, you know, straighten her dress tail out and everything, and that big suitcase and pocketbook she always carried. And then she'd close the door. And we started out up the road to the Low Gap Church. Well, we got up there, and it was a good thing we'd gone early, because a lot of folks had decided to, I reckon, hear the word that night. And so I took Inez up next to the church, and she opened the car door, and she lifted her right leg up, and she set it outside. Lifted her left leg up and set it outside, and then she braced herself on either side of the door and kind of heaved herself up out of the car. And then went on into the church, and I parked the car. Well, when I got up to the church, it was just a little tiny country church, about the size of the inside of this room. And didn't have any electricity, no screens on the window. Inez was heading down the aisle, and I said, now, Inez, you might want to sit back here at the back close to the door, so if anything is to happen, we could get out and hurry. And Inez said, no, sir, I have come to see the show, and I'm going right down to the front and getting me a good viewing seat. And she did. She went down and sat down right in the middle. It wasn't even a pew. It was just a bench without a back on it. She sat down right in the middle of that front row bench. Well, the church filled up behind us. Folks, soon all the bench space was gone, and they set into doing what y'all are doing. There's lining the sides and the backs, you know, and setting in the aisle. Spilled out onto the little porch and come out into the parking lot. And Inez now kept up a running, commentary the whole time. The folks is, Lord, I want you to look over yonder's Buck Lundy. I bet he ain't been in the inside of the four walls of a church in probably 40 years. I bet the foundation's trembling underneath. So I got that the whole time. And remember now, Inez was one of them ballad singers that would go out every morning and sing at the top of her lungs. So a whisper to Inez was kind of like I'm talking now. You know. Okay, so folks is settling in, and you could hear young'uns kind of a snuffling, and you know, people settling, and Inez was looking around. After the church got full, people were standing around peeping in the windows from the outside. She said, no, sir, they ain't nobody here that's going to handle those snakes. Now, I know every soul that's in this church house, and they ain't none of them that's brave enough to handle those snakes. This is all just a farce to get me and people like me to go to church. Now, I know that's what it was. And she said, now, I God, they'd better not set in and try to save me. See, because in the primitive and hard shell Baptist, and even in the missionary Baptist to a certain degree, they would have what's called an altar call. Alright? And then if somebody in the congregation was known not to have been saved, then the whole congregation would focus in on that one poor pitiful person. And then the whole congregation would just flock to them, you know, and beg them to be saved. And literally, there would be like 15 people down just a hollering and a crying and a begging, you know, telling them they were bound for hell and all this stuff. So I took one look at Inez's face and I thought to myself, honey, if you could see the expression on your face, there ain't nobody going to bother you tonight. Guaranteed. So about the time that I thought that I was going to have to leave and take Inez home, the door up at the there at the front of the church, see, we came in the back. The door up at the front of the church opened up, and these six people came in. There's three men and three women. And Inez said, yes, sir, them must be the snake handlers. I don't know a single one of them. And them must be the snakes in them boxes. Because two of the men, there was three men, three women, two of the men was carrying boxes. And they set them down right inside the door. And the congregation got real quiet. Finally, one of the men came, walked out into the front of the church and said, let us pray. And he flew in to pray. And he prayed and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed and he, 5 minutes later, was still praying. And Inez started to get restless. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard a person huff or not, but Inez set in to huffing. And she would draw air in her mouth, and then she'd flap her lips as it came out. And then she'd draw air in her mouth and flap her lips as it came out. And then she set into bouncing her knee up and down like this. And the whole bench was shaking out through there. And finally he said, amen. And Inez said, amen, big and loud right behind him. And then he said, now, is there anybody here that would like to get something, anything, off of their chest before I start the service? Well, right behind where Inez was sitting, this woman stood up. Now, as an adult, I can understand, because she had been a member of that church since she was just a little girl. And have you ever seen those wooden plaques up at the front of churches that told how many people were there the Sunday before? How much collection they'd taken up, you know. Well, there had been 12 people at church the Sunday before. And if you counted them, what was looking in the window, there's probably about 500 people there this night. And she allowed us to how everybody was there for the wrong reasons. That they wasn't there for salvation, and they wasn't there, you know, to hear the word. They was all there to see the serpent's handle. And as far as she is concerned, it was a sin, an abomination. And she pointed at that preacher and said, and yous ought not to do it. And it was real quiet on the inside of that church. And I don't know if that was the snakes out of her eye had no more than hit that bench to where that preacher's eyes rolled back in his head to where all you could see was just a little bit of white down at the bottom. And he set into, he's just as stiff as a board, and he set into just shaking all over, you know. And then started running back and forth and was saying something that sounded like she, ma, 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 you know. And Inez said, yes, sir, they'll get them snakes out for sure now. He's tough to talking in tongues. Well, sure enough, he run over to where those boxes were, and he flipped the lid up on them, and he reached down in that box and brought out two of the biggest rattlesnakes I have ever seen in my life. Great big old things. And both of them in full sand. And Inez, bless her heart, stood straight up in front of the congregation, turned around and faced everybody and said, why, hell, them's real snakes. And when she did that, the whole congregation just blew up. I mean, everybody just jumped up and said it was screaming, and they was running back and forth and pushing each other, and the benches was turning over, and they was just hollering at the youngins and crying, you know. And of course, the doors opened in toward the church. And everybody wanted to go out of the church. So they hit those doors, and it was just like a solid wall of people there up against those doors. And they were throwing children out the window. You know, they, you'd hear somebody holler, catch little Johnny! And there was Inez, every bit of her, right up at the front of the church, going right around and around in this little tight circle. Well, I climbed up on the bench right there next to the window. And Inez... Have you ever seen a horse, how when it gets real startled, it'll kind of rear its head up and its eyes get real big, you know, and you can see all the white around the eye, and it kind of looks like they're rolling around in opposite directions. That's the way Inez's eyes. And now, I know that every woman in here remembers double-knit polyester. Inez had on about 12 yards of it. And she was just swirling. Well, finally she said, she looked at me right wild and she said, gal, I'm thinking it is time me and you was getting out of here. And I said, now I'd ask you to sit back there at the back with me like what I tried to get you to do when we first come in. We're going to be out of here. And I said, look at that mess back there. There ain't no way of getting out them doors. And honey, you can't get out one of these windows. And she looked over her shoulder then, and one of the women that was with this group had two copperheads and was running around with them, you know, held out right there. And Inez looked back around the bench. She said, I got you grab a hold of the back of my dress, gal, and I'll show you how it'll go out. And I just got a big double handful of all that polyester bunched up back there. And I have never gone out of church quite in that fashion. She pushed and she shoved and she cussed. And told stories on members of the congregation that I know they're still trying to live down. And we were one of the first ones out the parking lot. And we got out there, started through the parking lot down to the car, and I looked over at Inez, and she had that dress hiked up about mid-thigh and was stepping about 6-8 inches off the ground. I said, Inez, what are you doing? She said, by Ned, they might have turned some of them serpents loose out here to test our faith like there's a fixing to do in there. And we got down to the car, and she headed down the passenger side, and I headed down the driver's side. And I want you to know that I had no more than cleared the back bumper of my car to where Inez was in that car with the door shut and locked. I mean, she launched herself, just smooth, slickering a ribbon right into that car. And there was none of this backing and, you know, and lifting. I mean, she was in there in a heartbeat. Well, we headed down the road. Now, and I knew I was fixing to get a good cussing. I mean, I knew she was fixing to just absolutely peel the paint. Not a word. All the way down there, not a single word. Every time I'd look over at her, she'd have her hands like this, staring straight ahead, not a single word. Got down to her house, and by that time I was nervous and worried. I almost wish she had cussed, you know, just give me a good blister. Well, I thought, Lord, she ain't never going to speak to me again. What'll I do without my old Ebenezer? That's what I call it. Got down to her house, and she opened the car door, still not a word, picked her right leg up, set it out, reached back in, got her left leg, set it out, braced herself on either side of the door, and right before she heaved out, she looked over her shoulder and she said, "Now, honey, I love you just like you was one of my own. And if you want to come down here and learn them old love songs, we'll sit on the porch and I'll sing all night long if you would never sing the same one twice. I know a bunch of them. But don't you never come down here and try to haul me off to no religious goings on. Because me and you don't gee-haw when it comes to religion." And that's the true story of Inez.